Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Now, usually at this time, we would be having our Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
Where we would give you a detailed review of the latest WWE video game.
Yeah.
However, this year, somebody wanted to get a next-gen edition of the game.
Okay, alright. Don't even try to make this sound like a bad thing, okay? For one, our listeners deserve to have our thoughts of the most recent, most advanced version of the game that there possibly is. And reviewing a PS3 version of a game when there is a newer generation of console out there, and I own said newer generation console, that would be socially irresponsible of us.
That's why you did it. For the social responsibility.
Oh, yeah, I still had to pay for the game. It's not like I got it for free or anything. Although we hey, WWE, we do a lot of positive things promoting your work.
We've never said a bad thing about you.
Ever. That whole pocket of suck thing was said,
Suck ironic. Is slang for super cool.
Yes.
Super undeniably
crazy
coolishly.
No, crazy cool, but with a K.
Oh, because it's cool.
Because
yep.
It's rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
Like Mortal Kombat. Yep. Super yes. Undeniably crazy cool. I like yes. It.
Pocket
of suck.
Pocket of suck. That's exactly what that means. So, next year, you and 2K should send us the next video game for free. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Or Chris will pay for it again if you send it early.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. You know, if we can get it like a month early, yeah.
Yeah.
Even like a couple weeks.
You know. Anyway, the point is, we haven't... Chris has played the game. I have not played the game yet.
Right. Joel's been obviously busy with, you know,
this Charlie and Brown that. And everything. And but. Also, the game's been out for like a week. So, maybe 2 weeks now?
No, it's been a week, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a week, so
yeah,
like...
it's only been a week.
There's, you know, usually we have several weeks to kind of like really play with it, toy with all the different right. options, see what we can do.
So maybe Christmas.
Yeah, so like we have another holiday that we'll probably want
to
take a
right.
week off
we
for.
Don't have to do a big, like, you know, special episode this year, so we're good.
Yeah. So, and anyway, this lined up completely with Survivor Series, so can you believe if we would have, like, all this now if we had decided to take this week off?
Yeah, because like, usually we do, but usually we don't have the Survivor Series that we do.
Right, right. Usually
that we did this year.
Right.
Yeah, there would be no way we would be able to put this off for a week.
No.
Runner-up to pay-per-view of the year so far.
Oh, easily. Thinking about it the next day, I might be fighting.
It's, honestly, it's...
I need some distance. That's the thing. It's like, I need some distance, and I need to rewatch both this and Mania.
Yeah. But this is the only pay-per-view that I wanted to rewatch,
mm-hmm.
other than WrestleMania 30. The rest of them, I really just... I rewatched some of them, I didn't really, like,
I'm gonna disagree with you. Like, because I've been so taken with this pay-per-view, I've kind of, like, looked back over the past year of wrestling, and now, looking back on it, now at this point, looking back on the big four,
right?
I have very big reasons to enjoy all four of them.
Okay.
Obviously, this one was right. Sting. WrestleMania is obvious as well. But SummerSlam was John Cena getting destroyed by Brock. Like, mm-hmm. and that was to watch that match. To watch, and it's the words fail me to be like, we're just going to show you a squash match for the main event, a slow paced,
yeah,
you know, move repetitive squash match,
yeah,
and that'll be the main event of the second biggest pay per view of the year. Here you go, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then Royal Rumble. Looking back on it now, the fan demand for Daniel Bryan is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I totally get it was terrible at the time, in the moment, because I was in that moment.
And I remember how angry we were.
I remember that. But looking back on it, knowing how it all turned out at WrestleMania, it's all okay.
Yeah.
Watching that
basically, Royal Rumble would be brilliant if it was planned like that. We know it wasn't, and we're not going to pretend like it was, but looking back, it's honestly a lot of the pay-per-views this year was a good year-long arc of the Authority.
And, yeah.
You know, the Authority pretty much getting the upper hand a lot, not 100% of the time, but a lot of the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So, and then I feel like unless some more shenanigans happen, you know, Survivor Series was kind of like the end cap of it.
Yeah.
You know, now, yeah, we might get some residual stuff.
Oh, stuff's definitely going to come around.
Especially with the ending of Raw, who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, it if you look back on it, knowing that the end has happened, so to speak, you can kind of appreciate a little bit more what happened. I'm not saying that makes the pay-per-views good.
Well, that's the thing. Is like
in general, but
a lot of stuff that
especially the non-Big Four ones.
A lot of the stuff that has unfortunately happened, the Daniel Bryan thing, and then Daniel Bryan having to get stripped, which was the thing where like everybody just like sucks, but understandable.
Right.
Like everybody's in that boat where like, bummer. Okay, I understand. So
yeah, absolutely.
But let's burn through this card real quick so we can get to the end.
Alright, kickoff matches. The new Fandango going against Justin Gabriel. And Fandango now is with Rosa Mendez. Who, surprise, surprise, Rosa Mendez still can't dance.
Justin Gabriel looks like Professor Snape.
He looks like Snape?
He totally looks like Snape with his new hair.
Okay, I mean, he's had that hair for a while, but I guess you don't watch NXT.
I do watch NXT. I don't watch weekly, but I watch NXT fairly consistently. I don't know how I've missed Justin Gabriel.
He's been on there at least once a month.
Okay, I could have missed once a month. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I was like, but no, I don't watch. I mean, I can now. That's because I'm not in the show.
Right.
I can now.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But the new Fandango is just. Okay.
It's the same Fandango, but with
different music and a different dance partner.
I don't care. He's not Damien Sandow, so we can't make terrible gimmicks work.
There you go.
And I love Johnny Curtis, but he can't make terrible gimmicks work like Damien Sandow can, so it's not going to work.
Right.
Because he's a dancing. Nope, it's not going to work. Move on.
Okay. Swagger going up against Cesaro. Swagger winning. I don't remember much about this.
Real quick. Again, not a whole lot to say about this match, but Jack Swagger was supposed to be on Team Cena. That's
exactly the point I was going to make.
And he couldn't.
Because he got taken out. But if he's medically cleared to be in this match, why isn't he in Team Cena?
Yeah.
Not saying we really feel strongly about Swagger being in the main event of this pay-per-view, but from a story standpoint,
that is a bigger than usual hole in your kayfabe.
Absolutely. Like, it makes no sense unless Swagger was like a last minute thing, and by that point Cena had already solidified his team or whatever. Fine, I guess, if you really want to, you know, George Lucas this whole thing, but still, come on, this no. feels like a big glaring hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, moving on. Fatal 4-Way Tag Team.
Yeah.
Match for the championships.
Yep.
Some cool stuff happened, but really all that's worth talking about is Miz Dow. Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
The guy is over.
This is so over.
The guy, Miz Dow, is so insanely over right now. Like, to the point where it's getting harder and harder for him not to break and, you know, and smile in the middle of all this stuff.
I gotta imagine, like, the guy having been, like, presented this. And, like, you gotta imagine him showing up to work each Monday.
Yeah.
For months and being like, what do you got from what, you know, am I going to prove myself as a fantastic wrestler and a great asset to this company? And, like, we're going to put you in this doofy costume. It's like, all right, fine, I'm c- company man, I'm here to do it.
Mm-hmm. Next week. Oh, this week we're going to put on a basketball jersey, and you're going to pretend to be this basketball player that no one outside of Indiana would ever know.
And, like,
and, you know, so, like, on, right, so, right, on, right, so on, so on.
I'll do that, I'll do that. And then he comes back the next week, ready to go. That costume thing, we're going to do it again. Da-da-da-da-da. And so it's just this costume thing, and then he's like, we're going to make you the Miz this time. And then the next week, we're going to make you the Miz again. So it's a ruddy gimmick made even ruddier by repeating the same thing. Yeah. And just, like, that is the bottom of the barrel in, as far as creative goes. And but he, like,
he made it
pulled
work.
Himself up by his bootstraps. And that's got to feel good. And just, like, congratulations. And Miz and Miz Downey to ride this thing to the moon.
Yeah, as high as they possibly like can that, go with this, yeah.
That, like, and it wasn't as good as this, but I have not seen wrestlers have that control over a crowd since Daniel Bryan yesing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is like, and obviously Daniel Bryan yesing was, holy crap, even more.
Yeah.
But, and you know the time I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But Miz and Miz Dow making him go yay, no.
Yeah.
This is the second best crowd control I've seen this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just I'm trying my best to just enjoy this and not think too much of how WWE is going to eventually ruin this. Because eventually they're going to turn on each other.
Yeah.
Have that whole thing and then afterwards do nothing with him once again. You know, so like you said, ride this to the moon, and as long as they possibly can, as long as, you know, they stay hot, and as long as, you know, really, you missed out, can he just continue to do this, and he's insanely entertaining doing it. It's silly, it's hokey, and it's a little dumb, but it's still funny, it's still fun to watch.
Yes.
So, I dug it. They're the new champs now. Looks like we're going to get Miz, proclaiming that he is the tag team champions.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, that's fine, and
it fits the characters.
And this is very close to exactly what I was asking. Like when I was like so down and apathetic on the tag team match last week and a few weeks ago. Like this is a very much shot in the arm.
Yeah.
Exactly like I wanted, because it was like, these guys can literally go up against anybody, and I'm going to be excited to see them.
Yeah.
So this is a tag team, right now at least, for the sake of a tag team. It is two random wrestlers thrown together, but the whole Mizdow gimmick has become, like, why these two wrestlers might be together.
Right.
So there is a little bit of a relation there, and it's, I don't know, it's working for me.
Yeah.
It's firing on all cylinders. Absolutely. Right now. Go, you guys.
I agree. We have the Divas 4-on-4 Survivor Series Elimination Tag Team Match. Alicia Fox, Emma, Naomi, Natalya against Paige, Cameron, Layla, and Summer Rae, who are apparently called the Slayers according to, Wikipedia?
I believe
you. Never heard that before.
Is that a Total Divas thing?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Because her name starts with S and then Lay. Layla.
Slayers. Whatever.
That's effing dumb. Okay.
I this might be forever bias to Paige that I'm going to have anyway. But I feel like Paige was the MVP of this match.
Paige.
Just for like the last three moves that she took.
Yeah. Naomi, you had some moments in there where you're like, oh, that's right, she's really good at what she does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paige just had a nasty kick right to the Natalya's face that had me, you know, legitimately, like, jump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Natalya instantly tagged out, and I was like, that,
Yeah, no, there's, that had to have legitimately hurt.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
Team Fox.
Yeah, because Naomi got the final
Naomi
pin.
Yeah, Naomi got the final pin.
That's right.
Other MVP, of course, is Tyson Kidd, who live-tweeted this match.
Live-tweeted it, wearing his ridiculous hood.
Yeah.
His almost Klansman-like hood. Yeah. Live-tweeted during... And there was one point where he was just taking selfies with just butts in the background.
Yeah.
Which, you know... Some people are into it. So.
MVP Tyson Kidd.
Yay, Tyson Kidd. Yeah, Tyson Kidd, like, he's not getting a whole lot of, you know, main show time. But he's getting more and more of it. And I know someone, I think it was Blair, told us that we needed to watch SmackDown from a couple weeks ago. There was a triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship. It was...
him, Ziggler, and Cesaro.
Yes, that we needed to watch. And I still haven't, but I plan on it.
Yeah.
He's getting more and more matches on these main shows. He's really riding this whole, like, Natalya's husband thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, and it's something that they probably should have done for a while ago.
Yeah.
But he's really starting to, you know, kind of find his own as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it, because...
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I hate you. That was 0 rounds. 0 rounds.
What is the round?
Out of 12. Yeah. 12 rounds. Get it from the joke from like 2 weeks ago? We use rounds as a rating system. John Cena movie? Yes, yes, you did.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah.
You can't even remember your own shtick. Oh, my goodness.
I swear I'm not high when we do these podcasts.
I'm just a little drunk. But yeah, Tyson, he's really finding his own as a heel, and I'm enjoying it. Watch more NXT, you'll get it.
I do watch NXT. I love Tyson Kidd.
Okay, then.
I mean, like, those four guys, the Aaron Neville, Sami Zayn, Tyson Kidd, and Prince Pretty.
Yeah.
Like, any one of those guys, I could just watch forever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's my, like, watching those guys, I'm, like, secretly hopeful for, like, in 5 years, we'll get that Stone Cold, Rock, Taker, Shawn kind of, like, rotating main event scene right there.
With, like, a few other guys sprinkled in between, like, oh, yeah.
With, like, a little bit of Chris Jericho here and a little bit of Undertaker there and, like, some Kurt Angle every now and then and, like...
Yeah.
That kind of... When it was that and it was not just...
You were naming those names and I was thinking, like, Undertaker versus, like, Adrian Neville. I was like, I don't think Undertaker will be wrestling that much longer. If he's even wrestling anymore. But, no, I get what you say. Like...
Yeah.
Theoretically, like, superstars that are there now that could possibly break, you know, break out and have, like, a couple main event pay-per-view matches with them. Just to kind of break up the rotation. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree, especially with, like, more indie guys making it through. You know, you have the obvious, you know, Finn Balor and Hideo Itami. Yeah. Kevin Steen, he's supposed to be showing up.
He's showing up at the live event, isn't he?
At the live event. I think his new name is Kevin Owen. Kevin Owens.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's Canadian. I'm sure it's a tribute to Owen Hart.
Yeah.
So, there's that. No, his kid is named Owen. I remember that. I remember that because there's a video on YouTube when he was in Ring of Honor. It was him, some other guy that I don't know, and like kind of like moderating was El Generico. And the other guy was being the heel, just talking trash at Kevin Steen. And he said something about like his ugly kid. Who was like a newborn. And as soon like he said that, he was like kinda like getting in his face a little bit. Generico kinda broke him up a little bit. And then like the other guy said something again about his kid. And then that time, like, Generico just like let him have it and he did like 3 straight package pile drivers. Like one right after another, after another, after another. Got out of the ring. Went over to the back of the little gymnasium, picked up his kid out of the carrier, came over here, put his kid on top of him, and Generico counted him 3. And he was like, hey, you got your first ever win. And he picked up the kid, and like he was trying to like get out of the ring, but he couldn't because he was holding the kid. So he handed the kid to Generico so he can get out. And as he did, Generico just was like, had the most like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Look on his face.
Nice.
So... That's how I knew what his name was, because they announced, his first ever wrestling win, Owen Steen or whatever. So that's how I knew that.
Yeah, quite a tangent.
It's a funny video, and it's an adorable
not,
video.
And we're not getting any closer to getting to talk about Sting. Next match. Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose.
You want to talk about it, then you talk about it. It was...
It was a teaser, you guys. It was I mean...
That's all this match was. It was, you know, hey, you know what? We're going to have another match at TLC.
You know what? That's fine, because it's...
That was the only match that did that?
Yeah, it was the only match that did that. It's a good match to do that on, in all honesty, because I enjoyed what I saw of them.
And, you know, they didn't even beat around the bush. Like, they announced later that night that they already booked a match between these two at TLC.
And I get that Survivor Series is also this giant ad to please, please buy the network. So
right.
If they do this, be like, all right, you saw this, cool. But now we're going to add this stuff in next month. Be sure and watch.
Yeah.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. Some people will complain about that, but I totally get it. I have no complaints about that.
Right.
Sure. And here is the point where I realized that I'm just flat out enjoying this pay-per-view.
Okay.
Because something happened, I don't remember what it was, but Blair was on when we covered Survivor's, Night of Champions. No, Blair came on a little while after, because Blair wanted to defend Night of Champions.
Okay.
When it was me and Blair on.
Yeah.
And so, Blair and I, that's what I'm...
Yes.
And so... And, like, there was one point he said, I was like, you know what, honestly, this is the kind of match where, like, if I saw this exact same match on a pay-per-view I was digging, I might have enjoyed it, but I was already so down on Night of Champions.
Right.
Night of Champions is such a thorough disappointment that at this point I was like, nope, don't like this match. I think it was, like, the Jericho-Randy Orton match kind of thing.
Right. Even though it was actually a pretty good match.
It was a good match, but at that point I was like, down on
it. Right, at that point you were already checked out. Yeah.
Nothing, I'm gone, I'm done, I hate all these matches.
Okay.
This match is the exact opposite, because it's a bunny match.
Adam Rose versus the bunny, yeah.
As Adam Rose and the bunny
going
up against Slater Gator.
Yeah.
And nary a week before, we spent plenty of time complaining about that stupid bunny and what they're going to do with it.
And his air humps.
Stupid that bunny air humping was. And now I'm like, ah, it's a bunny match. It's funny. I like it. And it's because I'm enjoying this pay-per-view. It's not right. Because I've been... Because
you're in a cheery mood. So you're just like, ah, who cares? You know, we could, you know, I'll go... We could talk amongst ourselves. We had donuts and we had other people there.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
And it's dumb and silly and entertaining. And Adam Rose's, you didn't tag me in look.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just perfect. Frozen like that. It was amazing. Yeah.
So, that's the thing. You don't have to... Knock them all out of the park.
Right.
Some base hits are acceptable. And that's what this is. This is a base hit.
This was a single. Yeah.
It is. But you have a grand slam to bring it in at the end of the night. You hit a single at Night of Champions with Randy Orton and stuff, but then you get three outs later, that single means nothing at the end of the night. I really dread this baseball analogy.
Okay. This match. Was it a single? Base on balls or a bean.
Fair enough. Bean. It got it, but it got him on base.
It was a ball that hit us right smack dab in the face, but he got to first base.
It got on base, and he gets knocked home grand slam at the end of the night.
Alright, that's what's important. Yeah. The important thing is they got on base.
Exactly.
Right. Not sure how we'll talk about this next one in a baseball analogy, but Nikki and AJ.
I'm sorry, I think they got to first base still works for this match.
Joel, I love you sometimes. I'm giving you a hug. Oh, it was beautiful.
Right there?
You, sir, just hit a grand slam. Yes, this match absolutely got to first base. So people who didn't watch this and are wondering why we're giggling like a bunch of little girls, they basically recreated the WrestleMania 28,
which I'm choosing to believe was intentional.
Absolutely. No, it absolutely was intentional. You know, the quote-unquote kiss of death met by a big boot end of match.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think, I can't remember if Nikki even did anything other than that. Mm-hmm. Might have hit her finisher. I don't know.
Mm.
Either way, it was way too close for it not to be intentional.
Yeah.
Except this time it was Brie catching AJ... off guard long enough for Nikki to capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than WrestleMania 28, when it was just purely accidental with AJ and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So, Honestly, I like this better than us being forced to believe Nikki would beat AJ clean.
Yeah, I was like, that's the kind
if
of...
If you're going to put the belt on Nikki... This is probably how they would do it.
Like, and that's the thing, I'm like, sitting here and be like, it's kind of a shame you had to do this for a title match, like, you couldn't have done this for a non-title match, you still got the point.
But, you know...
But they did this at WrestleMania 28 with the World Heavyweight Championship.
True. No, absolutely, absolutely.
So... Okay.
It's yeah, like, we'll let this slide.
They've done it with bigger belts.
If, again, just to put it in perspective, the only other two people to have held the Divas Championship this year is AJ and Paige.
Yeah.
You know? So, maybe it was time to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, that's almost an entire year of pretty decent Diva storylines involving the championship.
Yeah. Also of note, I guess Brie is back on Nikki's side.
Yeah, they're kind of
the
which made Monday Night Raw a little bit weird, you know? Like if Daniel Bryan is in such power, why can't he do something to make his wife like be less of a jerk?
She's still technically serving out her 30-day sentence.
I guess.
Like he, but well, he can't do that.
Technically, it ended Monday or whatever.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Okay. And that's when they were really, you know, back together.
Buddy,
yeah.
Alright, whatever. But that brings us to Team Cena versus Team Authority.
The moment we've all been waiting for. Okay. So, set the stage. Cena, Ziggler, Show, Eric Rowan, Ryback on one team. Rollins, Kane, Mark Henry, Rusev, and Luke Harper on the other. With Triple H, Stephanie, Jamie Noble, Joey Mercury, and Lana. A lot of bodies in this match.
Yeah.
And that's very important to note. Because every single one of them, except for maybe Lana, were all involved in this match at some point. Lana was just, you know, being Lana.
This match, going back and watching again, just to confirm, was pretty much perfect.
Yeah. The only person that seemed like a waste of space was Mark Henry, who got...
But see, that's the thing.
But even then, he got knocked out early.
He got knocked out. It kind of re-solidifies the Big Show's knockout punch.
Right.
Is a legit thing. Because, like, he so rarely gets to hit that. You know, like, he charges it a lot in matches.
Okay.
It's a finisher.
Yeah.
But Big Show doesn't do a lot of finishers.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, he hasn't wrestled much this year. You know, he's taking a lot of time off, which, you know, at his age, I completely understand.
Yeah. But, I mean, in KFAB, the knockout punch is probably the most devastating finisher right now.
Yeah, I can only think of, like, a couple handful of guys that have actually kicked out of it.
Yeah.
I think Sheamus is one of them, so put... Just for levity, there you go.
Fair enough.
But they got rid of Mark Henry in a believable fashion, but it was pretty quick.
But it's a knockout punch. It also kind of reiterates that knockout punch is a guaranteed thing.
Right.
So when it comes back later...
Hint, wink, wink, nudge. They found a great way to eliminate Rusev, but without... Pinning or submitting, or making him look weak in any way.
No, because he looked great and
took a good
committed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like legitimately face first.
He belly flopped onto that table.
Right. So
like it was a swimming pool.
It was a convincing count out.
Yeah.
Because even with people trying to help him, he's a big dude to carry, so you can only get him so far. I don't remember how Ryback got eliminated.
Ryback was the one that was kind of a waste, like, especially with all the, like, the build-up, like, whose team's Ryback gonna be on? Ryback just kind of got eliminated in the middle of it.
I don't remember it. I don't know, there's, like, so many other things that were important. I honestly don't even remember.
We got some good moments between Eric Rowan and Luke Harper.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised they're not really furthering that, because they could have a great...
They could.
You know, kind of a little feud there.
Yeah, unless they just don't want to pull that trigger just yet.
Maybe, I guess, but like I think for the next 2 months they'd be really good together.
Yeah.
And then good stuff happened. Okay, go ahead. Dolph Ziggler was far and away the MVP.
No, clearly. Like we had the whole thing with Big Show, taking out Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Had that, and then for a while, like Ziggler was, And really, you should have seen it coming, because Ziggler was not getting tagged in for a long time in that match.
Well, the thing
is, we see why, because, you know, he had a lot to do with it.
He was in there for a long time and just took abuse.
Yeah.
Against
Rusev, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was technically legal when Rusev got counted out, because if you count that, he got 4 count outs.
Yeah.
Or he got 4, he defeated 4 people, but he didn't get 4 pins.
Right.
So.
So yeah, basically the only person he didn't pin or whatever was Mark Henry, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a legal man for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Big Show, you know, took out John Cena, shook hands with Triple H, and then left, and then eliminated himself. And so at that point, you know, because then Seth Rollins again did the amazing... should I pin this guy? I'm gonna pin this guy, but I'm gonna watch everyone. 1, 2, 3. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing that he did whenever Bray Wyatt attacked Dean Ambrose last month at Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. Like, he does that way too perfectly.
Yeah.
That cautious pin, like, but still, like, not sure of what's going on, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna capitalize on this. So he had that, but then we had Ziggler versus Seth, Kane, and Luke Harper.
Yes.
Man, we were nervous.
Yeah. So here's the thing. At that point, shenanigans have to happen. And your shenanigans are going to happen because...
You were just hoping Ziggler would take some guys down on...
That's the thing. Is like, shenanigans have to happen because there's no way they're ending this pay-per-view on 3 members of the Authority surviving in triumphant. That's not how they're ending this. But, like, here's the thing. If Big Show had punched out Dolph Ziggler and Cena was the only one left,
mm-hmm.
I was like, shenanigans might happen, or Cena might just beat 3 people.
Right.
And then be victorious.
And then we were like, okay, whatever.
Yes.
But they didn't.
But because of that, Dolph Ziggler, and it was, God, it was stressful.
Yeah.
And part of it is just the history of Ziggler. Like, yeah. Grooving right up to that glass ceiling and coming back down. Right up again and again and again, and going through that glass ceiling.
And then getting a concussion. And
knocked back down again. Like, just... So, just to see it and, like, every single kick out was like, And so, mathematically, Ziggler was the legal man
mm-hmm.
for...
4 out of 5.
Well, but he was a legal man for 27 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And let's say...
Oh, yeah, because there was a lot of...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Let's say that 5 minutes of that was him lying down there during, like, the Sting entrance, the Sting later stuff. So Ziggler was consistently active for 22 minutes. While Ziggler was legal, there were 11 kickouts.
Holy crap.
That is 1 every 2 minutes.
Holy wow!
There are 2 counts every 2 minutes in that Ziggler. The time that Ziggler was legal,
and that was like, including
the beginning,
including like other like him trying to cover other guys mm-hmm. or covering Seth or something. And,
yeah.
Okay. Because I'm seeing what you're saying. Because that also counted whenever Triple H would break a count or something like mm-hmm. that, and you would interfere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but just. I'd still, like, I'm, like, stressed because we've been burned on this ride so many times before, but I'm sitting here like, this has got to be the Dolph Ziggler push, right?
Right.
This has got to be it.
What you're saying is you've been hurt before.
I have been hurt before.
Yeah. No, I completely acknowledge
but I wanna, it. But I want to go back so bad. I'm just like, and there's still this thing where, like, Brock still has the championship. And Cena's still the number one contender.
Right.
And Roman is going to come back in a couple months. And
Roman might be coming back next month.
Yeah. Well, really?
He said in the interview he hopes to be back this time next month.
Okay. I still assume.
So basically Royal Rumble time.
Yeah, it's like I still assume Royal Rumble.
At this point, we're getting into, you know, the Christmas and New Year's mm-hmm. shows, which are usually taped and awful.
Yeah. So we're just like, we'll pre-tape ours and do the video game.
Well, but it won't be awful.
No, it'll be amazing.
Because we care, kind of.
But, and so, like, even so, like, I can still see, like here's all the things in the way of Ziggler.
Right.
But, man, did you guys see that match?
It was fantastic.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, like, They're Sting.
And, like...
First, I had you heard the rumors that it was, like, almost guaranteed that he would show up beforehand?
I had heard rumors, but there was nothing substantial enough.
And you were at the point where it's like, okay, yeah, every moment, like, just like Cena turning heel, it would...
Yeah.
This always would be a perfect time for Sting to show up.
It was not... Like Brock after 28.
Yeah.
I knew Brock Lesnar was coming back on that episode.
The crowd knew Brock Lesnar,
and it ruined it.
Yeah.
Stupid jerk-alls.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... So, like, while rumors existed, it wasn't that level of, like, I'm just waiting for Sting. It was,
Yeah.
Sting had been rumored before, and, like, and...
I believed it a little bit more that night than I had before, you know?
But here's, like...
Because I knew it was, like, it's getting to that point where it's, like, if he's going to make an appearance pre-WrestleMania 31,
mm-hmm.
and have, like, at least that one match that we think he has in the can,
mm-hmm.
and he needs to, you know, come out soon. So, I put a little bit more weight than I usually would.
Now, but you know what?
Had he not, and we got to Royal Rumble, then I would be like, at any point in Royal Rumble, he's going to show up, you know?
Yeah, well, at any point he'll show up for Royal Rumble is dedicated to CM Punk. Like,
I know.
That is a reserved spot in my heart.
Okay,
but the thing with Sting is like, even with rumors and even with here's the thing, I know he has signed a contract.
Yeah,
I know that he will be appearing before WrestleMania. He is in the video game.
Right,
he will be appearing on WWE. Even so, I was still like. Cannot believe this is happening.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This is beyond comprehension. Because
again, this is something that we never thought we would actually see.
This is, and that's the thing, is like, you know what? I always knew Hogan was coming back.
Yeah.
Hogan's gonna come home. You fight and big, and Hogan's gonna come home.
Same thing with Ric Flair whenever he went to TNA.
Yeah, Ric Flair's gonna come home.
Right.
Brock's gonna come back. The money's gonna be right, the time's gonna be right, and there's gonna be the right movie to promote.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought Rock was gone forever, ever, ever.
No. And just like we were... We're pretty sure at some point CM Punk will come back in some fashion, even if it's just be put in the Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah.
He'll be associated with WWE at some point.
Yeah, CM Punk will come back. But Bret Hart coming back, I would have never.
No.
Like, that was the one.
That one.
And Sting.
That one, I was unsure about Ultimate Warrior. I was convinced Bruno wouldn't happen. Because he was so against WWE in some stuff that they had done in the past.
Yeah.
You know?
But, like...
But, you know, time heals all wounds.
Honestly, like, the thing is... It's different with, like, Bret Hart because... I saw Bret Hart and I knew Bret Hart and
right.
stuff. And, meaning, I know who Bruno Sammartino is and I've gone back and seen those, but there's not the nostalgia hook, any kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
But that's things, like, since Bret Hart... There's not been I cannot believe that this is happening and this
right.
guy's here. And watching that, I realized that that's it. There is that what we saw will never and can never happen again.
Yeah.
The wrestler finally making their entrance. Everything will be a return, like CM Punk. When CM Punk comes back,
yeah.
there'll be a return. Or will be a debut from NXT.
Right.
That was the very last. We can never again... get a wrestler like that.
Maybe somebody from TNA, but not you won't have anyone of that stature.
I mean, who is the most famous wrestler who's never wrestled in WWE now? Maybe AJ Styles?
But technically he was on WWE TV in the past.
Oh, that one time?
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Same.
Samoa Joe, then?
I can't remember. Bobby Roode, technically. The same thing with AJ Styles. He did show up on, like, Sunday Night Heat or something like that. I don't know.
Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe, maybe. Because I know he was only in development. He was in developmental with him. At some point. But I don't think he ever got past that. I could be mistaken on that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's probably it. You know, absolutely no one near... stature of Sting.
Yeah, it was
you know.
Saturday, it was no question.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I don't know. And just, there's... It's the kind of thing where I missed a lot of Invasion stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that was, you know, that was the off time for me, and that was... I was at the exact right age to totally buy into, like, wrestling's fake anyway, and nobody believes it.
Right.
So I miss, and, like, there's a little bit of that, like, I miss, like, that moment Goldberg came in.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been cool.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, and you know, even, like, X-Pac coming back, that'd have been cool.
Yeah.
You know, to see, and just seeing guys back and forth. And that, there was one left, and I saw that, and it was Sting. Yeah. I was like, and I saw it, and it was good, and I can't, and I still, and I'm not that even big of a Sting fan.
No, no, no.
And that's the thing, it's like, there are people out there, and...
I was a loyal WWE guy, but yet I still, you know, went completely crazy when Sting finally showed up. And, you know, I was never a big WCW fan, even when, you know, they were doing stuff... Even when they were doing good stuff, like, I've never really watched them.
Yeah.
But, you know, even me, like, because, again, it was something that I understood was very unlikely to happen for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we knew he was under contract with WWE in some capacity, we knew had he... We've seen him make other appearances with WWE over the past few months, but still, you know... until it actually happened, you're still going to be like, I don't know, they can still screw this up, you know?
It was a perfect moment.
Because, like, again, like, we joked about every year, like, alright, now it's the time where people will start talking about, okay, this would be a great time for Sting to come back and have his match with Undertaker or whatever, and then we had heard how close they had been on so many occasions on a contract with WWE or whatever. So I just expected this time, it's like, okay, they got him in a licensing deal or whatever, and he's got a contract to, like, make public appearances and stuff, but not on TV, so they could still screw this up and leave it to them for both parties to be, like, get to that point where they're about to put him actually on TV, and then it break down.
Yeah.
Not happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Getting as close as they possibly could, and it not happen.
Yeah.
You know? But...
But it happened.
It happened. It was great. He took out Triple H.
And the other thing, I still got to give props to Triple H for selling that moment perfectly.
Yeah.
Of just like, the shock and the taking it all in of, like, Sting being there. And I just, to this moment, now, yeah. You know, we're closing in to 48 hours later, and I'm still fumbling over the words...
Yeah.
To describe the feeling of watching Sting
walk
down that ramp.
And if you get a chance, get on YouTube and, like, try to go through some fan videos that were in the crowd that night when it happened. Because the TV cameras, they picked up, you know, the crowd and everything, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Pick it up from a fan camera, and that reaction is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Same thing with... Daniel Bryan winning WrestleMania 30, like, the moment it happened, you know, and you hear so much about these big arenas, how when they're in them, you know, the guys in the ring are always just like, well, I don't know if I did all that good, but then you watch it back, and like, yeah, the fans are going completely crazy, but you don't hear it down there, because mm-hmm. of the sound travel, but for stuff like that, it's impossible not to hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, that's the thing, and it's... I don't know, like, there's Daniel Bryan winning at the end of Mania and this as competing as the best moment in wrestling.
Yeah.
This year, or last year, or the year before.
Right.
And to have both of those happen in the same year.
Yeah.
It's
really got, like...
Good time to be a wrestler.
There's a lot of low points this year, you know? But the high points, we kind of got spoiled.
We got spoiled this year. And, like, you know... I'm not sure the low points were as low as they've been in the past.
Probably not, you know?
Like
go back to, you know...
I mean, that's the thing. It's
early,
like,
2011, 2010.
Yeah.
As recent as that, and it was awful.
That's the thing. It's like, I'll gripe and complain and, you know, all this stuff, but I'm still going to tune in even when they say, tonight being hosted by Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
Because every now and then, every once in 4 years... Something like Sting happens.
Yeah.
And it's all honestly, like,
if you look back on it, there's not a whole lot we can complain about since the pipe bomb in 2011.
Yeah.
Ever since then, yeah, there's been low points. They've had, there's points where you just kind of shake your head and like, what are they thinking? Like, we've had the whole Johnny Ace thing. Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, let's not forget that John Cena main evented back-to-back pay-per-views against Big Show and then Johnny Ace.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
we got
Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Exactly. Wow, we really said that at the same time.
Yes, we did.
Which is ironic because we both said because at the same time.
At the same time. Wow. Okay, quick touch-ups on Raw.
Biggest return of the year happened at the end of Raw. Forget Sting, forget Batista, forget all your hopes of ever seeing CM Punk again. The biggest return ever. The Raw anonymous general manager, which I'm assuming they're just saying isn't
Hornswoggle.
It isn't Hornswoggle.
It was Hornswoggle, but now it's not Hornswoggle. Just
again, they'll probably George Lucas this and be like, oh yeah, we just said it was Hornswoggle to keep, you know, get you off of our trail.
I'm not even sure they'll acknowledge that it was Hornswoggle at one
point. Maybe not, maybe not, you know.
Like, I just assume that's going to be swept under the proverbial rug.
Yeah. Also, and I know how annoying it was, but the whole doop noise that they kept playing over and over
again.
Did they
keep playing that? Did somebody
No, they kept playing it. I felt like it was like the Raw anonymous general manager's version of Evil Laugh.
That's what I was like, is it Evil Laugh? Because even the wrestlers looked confused in the ring.
They looked confused and annoyed as hell. As I was, because like, okay, let's end this. And then you had Michael Cole, who just had that blank Michael Cole look on his face as it was going. And it's like, as if it was some sort of like experimental art piece. Terrifying. But yeah. I'm assuming that podium wasn't there all night.
No. I mean, somebody in the crowd has said that they saw him, they snuck it in during the final match.
Okay, because Michael Cole just kind of looked at it, and he looked at the podium and was like, no, it can't be. And I'm like, well, obviously it is because the podium's here.
That's the thing, is like, the three announcers like looked over there like it had appeared.
Right, yeah.
I was like, what? And I was like, it's right there.
And then JBL did the highest screw this noise pencil throw I've ever seen him. He got some pretty good height on that.
Yeah. Also, Daniel Bryan came back.
Yeah.
Which, I'm gonna be totally honest, like, took me a second because, like, the music played. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's nice. Daniel Bryan's gonna come out. Wait a minute. Daniel Bryan hasn't been here for, like, 5 months.
Right. You know, he was a good one-time-only face GM kind of situation.
Well, I mean, honestly, the authority's gonna be back in some capacity.
Yeah.
And
but on the night where they, you know, sent them off,
it's nice to have Daniel Bryan there
because he was the one that dealt with them the most in the past. Yeah.
Here's the thing: if all the stars should align, Daniel Bryan and the authority will be McMahon and Stone Cold. Like, Daniel Bryan's the one that's going to always come back to feuding with the authority.
Right.
So it's nice to see him here to jest them off.
Yes.
Anything else wrong? I mean,
Michael Cole was in a weird mood the whole night. And it was like, his humor was kind of biting a little bit more so than usual. And it was actually kind of funny. There was a couple, I can't remember what they were, I wish I could, but there was a couple of times where I was like, damn, Michael Cole, like, what in the world? Like, what was it? Like, he said, like, oh, Miz was, they asked him to do Jingle All the Way too, but he was busy, and Michael Cole's just like, with what, the Marine 9? I'm like, dear God, Cole, like, that's a JBL line.
Burying WWE films.
Right. And do we have to talk about Larry the Cable Guy? The bunny air humped at him a couple times.
Not as bad as I thought. I will give it that.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely not as bad as I thought.
He had a Santino buffer.
Yeah, he helped. And it helped. It definitely helped.
Because, you know, Santino making his corny jokes, you're like, oh, it's just Santino.
And also, Santino's back, so it's all Santino plus nostalgia.
Right.
For all Santino. Right. So, no, and that's, you know.
And I'm assuming Santino is not Santino in Jingle All the Way.
No, I
assume. I'm assuming he's not, like, in that character, in a different character. Yeah.
So,
if he is, dear Lord, that is commitment to kayfabe.
Yes.
He's like, what was the line from Tropic Thunder? He's a dude pretending to be a dude to be another dude. Yeah. Something like that. It would kind of be like
that. That's where Santina's hitting at that point, yeah. Probably. I can't have anything that's making me happy more than Sting and Ziggler.
Non-wrestling? Nope. Wow.
Sting and Ziggler, it's the highlight of my week.
And it's a holiday week. Your friends and your family and your girlfriend are probably really happy to hear that.
She was here when we saw Sting debut.
She was.
I'm glad I could share that moment with her.
There's a photo that Beardsley took of us stressed as all get out about Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me and you looking really worried. And then Heather on the same couch, but kind of at a distance, looking confused about us.
Yeah.
And then there was other photos that she took of us losing our minds when Sting came.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we have record of that, because that is, like, those, the looks on her faces, like, I was like, okay, that was a legitimate joyful moment.
Yeah. And then that's the thing, is, like, I will be, like, in the middle of work, like, plugging away.
Yeah.
On the computer, hard at work, and I'll just be like, Sting, man. Holy crap. And just like a stupid grin.
So really,
sitting alone,
like,
in my office, just
if
like,
if I ever walk past you and you look like you're having a bad day, and I just look at you and be like, hey, Joel, Sting, man.
It'll help.
Okay. Alright. Good to know.
Anything making you happy that you need to mention?
Holidays. Get to see family. You know, my mom and my sister coming up. So that'll be fun. I gotta work Thanksgiving. That's no bueno. But holiday pay, so I am set as far as, you know, getting presents for people.
All right, check.
I guess I should probably look for something for you.
Oh, I got yours already.
The one that you were supposed to give me last year?
Yep.
That you forgot to give me and gave me, like, these random DVDs that you could find?
No. That was what I was supposed to give you before that.
It was all part of a thing.
I'm, like, perpetually behind on getting you a gift.
So this year I'm getting the gift that I was supposed to get last year
and
that
last
you forgot.
Year, and last year you're getting the gift that you're supposed to get the year before.
Wait, what? I'm lost.
Last year, the gift I got you last year,
yeah.
I got you for Christmas 2012.
So you forgot this gift for 2 years in a row?
No. Everything's just been pushed back. So I need to buy you your 2015 Christmas gift this year. I'm just really ahead. I'm good at this.
Not really.
I think so.
Because I got some weird DVDs last year.
Did you watch them?
No, I didn't.
Should have watched them.
Why should I?
Because they're...
Was this like some secret message that you put on there?
Yeah, you'll never know.
I guess not, because I have no idea where they are, to be honest. So yeah, that's what's making me happy. And that means it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail sack. All right, so this comes from Jay on Facebook. Just had a couple Survivor Series questions for us. One, concerning the Divas Survivor Series match, what do you think of Naomi getting two eliminations, including Paige? Is it just me, or did this bury Paige a bit? I don't know. I kind of took it more as the heel finally getting
what's hers.
Getting what's hers after turning on Alicia Fox or whatever.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't Alicia Fox that eventually got retribution, which is a little weird. But Naomi is really good. So her being able to beat, you know, Paige or whatever seems kind of believable to me.
Yeah.
You know, because we always refer to it as, you know, the talented Funkadactyl.
The thing that Paige needs to worry about as far as being buried goes is that for the past several months, there's been two Divas segments per week. The Divas title segment and the Bella segment.
Yeah.
And now those are the same segment.
Yeah.
Which means there's a very good chance we'll go back to one Divas segment a week.
Right.
Maybe two, and there'll be a Bella segment and a other Total Divas segment. Mm-hmm. Neither of which will include Paige.
Right. Well, no. Paige is joining season 3, I believe.
Oh, is she?
From what I heard, yes.
Maybe I should watch Total Divas season 3.
Maybe you should, and I will still not. I did my time.
You did it in season one?
Season one and one episode of season two, and that was it.
All right.
Okay.
It's been a while. I can plug back in and see what I missed.
All right. Moving on, number two. Did Sting's interference at the end take anything away from Dolph Ziggler's amazing efforts of the match? No.
I gotta give him that as well.
No. The only way this would have if this would have taken anything away from Ziggler is if it was still 1-on-3, lights go dim, lights come up, and Sting's there, like, on the apron, and Ziggler's in the ring by himself in a match.
I mean, it's a small thing, but it's a really important thing to me. Mm-hmm. Ziggler did pin Seth for a 3 count without a ref being there.
Yeah.
So, he would not have lost were it not for Sting's interference.
Right.
And
by the time Sting did show up, he had already, you know, he'd already pinned two guys and went through a lot at that point.
Yeah.
So, it would have taken a lot more to have taken away from that.
I also don't think, and this will become more apparent in coming weeks, but I don't, you know, Sting's probably not going to show up next week or the week after or probably till Rumble.
Right.
You know, that's a very good chance that this was Sting to get us to buy the network, and then we're really not going to get a lot of Sting.
Right.
So, unless they, you know, do the Poochie thing where everybody's sitting around going, where's Sting? Sting should be here. I wonder where Sting is.
Right.
Like, Daniel Bryan's still the person from that match that's on the show on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I still think there's a lot of risks. Brock Lesnar and John Cena still being the number one contender.
Yeah.
And guys who are returning that are going to get, you know, adore me some Roman Reigns, but I don't think he deserves to get ahead of Dolph Ziggler in that line at this point.
Not at this point, no.
But I'm worried that he will. So those are my concerns for Dolph Ziggler right now.
Yeah. So really, Dolph needs to really, like, take advantage of these next few weeks.
Yeah. I do think, I'll say this, I think Sting's interference overshadowed Dolph Ziggler's win.
But that was going to happen with no matter who it involves.
I don't think it took away, if that's possible. I think it overshadowed without taking away.
Right, and to be honest with you, like, they did a really great job the next night of everybody really putting Ziggler over,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
You had Cena putting him over for it, you had the commentators putting him over for it, and that's really all you need to really, like, you know, they could have been, like, talk nothing but Sting and just completely ignoring all that Ziggler did, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Instead, they treated it a lot like how they treated Roman after Survivor Series last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a very impressive effort. MVP of the match. Won the match. Blah, 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 blah. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, it did overshadow it a little bit, but it didn't completely it didn't take anything away from it, I don't think.
And my hope is, the best possible outcome is, mm-hmm. I mean, you said Roman Reigns won the Survivor Series match last year, the elimination match.
Yeah, but I also think he got, like, all 5 eliminations or something.
He got 4 of them because he tied.
Well, there you go.
But that's the thing is, like, I don't totally remember that before, like, you know, them talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, at Survivor Series.
Well, really, like, that was the breakout moment for Roman.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, I don't remember that match hardly at all. Like, I remember it happened, but that's not a visually remembering match. Same thing with, you know, 2 years ago. I don't remember what the Survivor Series match was. I'm hoping that this being the Survivor Series match that Sting debuted in will help to cement this as a truly oomph moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolph Ziggler might be able to piggyback off of that. And this might be me being unfairly optimistic.
I will totally go
after that because I'm ready to jump full into Dolph Ziggler, next champion. Gonna break CM Punk's record forever. It's Dolph Ziggler.
He's gonna have the championship for all the years.
Forever.
There you go. Next question he had. Do we think that Daniel Bryan was a bit too heavy-handed issuing payback for the faces? Some of his actions, you know, like Rusev's treatment, seemed a bit heelish. Not really, like, because the night after,
mm-hmm.
they were going to have to face some sort of consequence, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The way he dealt with Seth was fine. The only other one he really did any, like, special treatment against was Rusev, really. And even then, Rusev didn't have to go with either of those stipulations. He didn't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and he wasn't in the Battle Royal.
I mean, no, Daniel Bryan totally did heelish moves, but that's nothing new.
No, Lord, no.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, if you follow us on Twitter, we have a recurring hashtag called Not a Face that is usually reserved for John Cena, who does completely heelish moves.
But lately we've been using it for the Usos.
But the Usos have done it too. Yeah. And it applies to everyone. This is definitely time. Daniel Bryan made Kane do work concessions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just because
he
didn't like Kane. No, I mean, he definitely...
But he didn't fire him.
He didn't fire him. And no, but he... But no, obviously it was... The point was to humiliate these people.
Right.
So no, I will totally agree with you. This is definitely a very heelish thing to do. But we're supposed to cheer for him because he's the face. Anyway, but it's also something that just kind of happens to me. Like, it's not something like, I can't believe they're doing this. It's something I'm like, oh, they're doing it with Daniel Bryan this time. That's all
right.
Okay.
Right.
Especially for a be a star, pushers, they really struggle with not having their faces kick the heels when they're down. It's an ongoing struggle for them.
Fair enough. Is AJ's crack about talent not being sexually transmitted a double-edged sword considering her own marriage? Let me just point out, AJ was amazing in the ring and out long before she was with CM Punk in real life. She was great when CM Punk was transmitting his talent with Lita.
I was going to say, who did the tweet? Was it Creative, right? Was it WWE Creative?
I don't remember. What was it?
There's a tweet, and I think it was either Matt. It might have been Matt.
Okay.
But it's a tweet that was, if talent was sexually transmitted, then CM Punk would have given us the greatest divas division of all time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because you had so many of them. And honestly, like, anything AJ has said on the mic against other divas has been kind of hypocritical, you know? I'm thinking of her big pipe bomb from...
The Total Divas pipe bomb?
The Total Divas pipe bomb. That probably was about a year ago now, I guess. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
That one, you know, she's talking about how a lot of them are promiscuous or whatever, or alluded to it, and I'm like, this is the same character that was going crazy, but yet with every other superstar, kayfab wise,
yeah,
fine. There was that, and
that
was
definitely Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Kane, Dolph Ziggler, John Cena,
exactly,
or John Cena, Dolph Ziggler. That was the order.
Doesn't have to be in the timeline, but you're right. Yes, and then you have this, you know, talking about two women who are infamously with other top tier superstars when she herself is married to a top-tier former superstar, you know? So, yeah, it seems like a lot of AJ's biggest insults are a little bit, you know, a little bit hypocritical. But, again, to be fair, AJ was great in the ring, outside the ring, before this.
Also, Brie definitely got better in direct correlation to dating and then marrying Daniel Bryan.
Right.
So AJ's Nikki, not 100% right.
Nikki, not so much. She more or less got... I don't want to use the phrase that I'm thinking of, but basically, she also got trained a little bit by Daniel Bryan, because you saw on Total Divas, he was like, he would help her a little bit.
Yeah.
I was going to say splash damage.
Power through.
Okay. Hopefully that wasn't get picked up on the mic that much. And then finally, do you think the anonymous Raw GM storyline will actually end this time?
Okay.
Unless this might just be like a one-time
thing. I thought it was a one-time thing. I thought we're doing the different guy each week. We had Daniel Bryan this week. We're going to have the anonymous Raw GM because it's Cyber Monday. Like you pointed out, it's Cyber Monday, and we're going to make the computer in charge again.
That's just, that's just...
Noise.
That's just everything lining up. It's like, we don't have a GM. Next Sunday, Cyber Monday. Bam.
Yeah. So,
that's stars lining up,
like,
right there.
people freaked out because they did not want this Raw GM storyline to come back.
Right.
But I really thought that was just going to be, it's going to be a one-time thing, and then we're going to have somebody else next week. If that doesn't happen, I'm wrong, but...
I think we're going to get the whole, like, various entities scrambling for power probably till Royal Rumble.
Oh, I figured to WrestleMania. I figured some people were going to...
Well, it'll start Royal Rumble where people, like, actually start getting above others as far as power structure.
I mean, I figured that we're going to have the official mad scramble at WrestleMania because that's a nice WrestleMania story.
So, like, a new version of Team Teddy and Team Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. It's not great, but, eh.
But it'll be Team Stephanie and Team
Sam. So it'll be amazing. Yeah, so I agree. Like, the Raw GM thing, I don't see that lasting beyond next week. Might get another hokey segment where, like, oh, yeah, it was really this person or whatever, and it'll still be Hornswoggle, probably. Mm. But, I mean, and if it does last beyond that, so what? You know, they can... The Dumbest Raw GM was... It had its moments.
It was a great storyline with no ending, so there was no ending.
Right. And then Jay ended his message with, for Joel, he gave Survivor Series pay-per-view 10 out of 12 rounds.
So he clearly listens to this podcast more than I do.
Obviously. Because
he remembered the 12 rounds thing.
Well, honestly, that's how I remembered because I read this beforehand.
Oh, okay.
So, and I kind of disagree. So, I would give it 11 out of 12.
So I'd give it 12 out of 12.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. I mean, the only one I gave 12 out of 12 to would be WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. And like, that's what I was saying. Like,
so you're saying it would be 13 rounds. The sequel.
I'm saying that this is coming very close to being comparable to WrestleMania 30.
Okay.
Like, it's...
I'm saying, like, WrestleMania 30, you would give 13 rounds.
I might give it 12 rounds, too.
Okay, fine, whatever.
That's what comparable means. Whatever. I'm comparing them and finding them equal.
You always would have to... I almost made you find a bleep button. Whatever.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire.
Yep.
Where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you want to if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyreadingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, still the easiest and best way to follow the podcast. You just find us on there, click subscribe, you get new episodes straight to your computer, your phone, or wherever you listen every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review, all that kind of stuff just kind of helps out the podcast with iTunes algorithm-y things. And...
Yep. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. You can find us there. Just take a quick look. Like us there. You can also leave comments there for mail sack purposes.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.